can be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it's worth it just standing up here and getting to call Pastor out. That felt kind of good. Thank the Lord. Amen. It's wonderful. It's so wonderful to see you all this morning. And thank the Lord for those of you who are able to tune in also. The Lord is good. That, you know, we can gather and we can, and that we can gather virtually. What a blessing. Yes. The Lord has made every provision for us. And, you know, when Marlo was putting the microphone on me this morning, he says, oh, you got double duty today. So here's your microphone. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. But, you know, as you know, you've heard me say many, many times over, a day in your courts, Lord, is better than a thousand elsewhere. So, you know, it's been a busy morning, you know, and, you know, but God is so good. I would rather be no place else. And I consider it just a privilege and a blessing that the Lord has sustained me and has sustained all of you all to be here. So, if I get to speak one word about my Lord, I am up for it. So the Lord has been good. And I was just so grateful. You know, as I was thinking about the message preparation, and I was like, Lord, help. And then, you know, the Lord was, you know, he is always good. And so he just filled my heart with joy. As, you know, he reminded me that what he says to his people comes to me first. And he blesses me in this place of preparation. So it's worth it just to have to be forced to set aside the time to prepare. So it's always rich, you know, and I'm like, why don't I do this more often? Just sit and scour the word and read and pray. Why not, you know, unless I'm forced to, you know, but you know, God is good. It is all good in his faithfulness. And, you know, I just want to, you know, Aaron, thank you for sharing so candidly with us about his faithfulness. And as you stood and talked about 20 years ago, oh, my Lord, God is faithful. Standing here today after 20 years, starting out as a wee one. And many of us, you know, we were we want to thank the Lord for Nina singing with us. You know, thank you, Lord. I'm sorry, I hate to call you out, but, you know, we were in rehearsal and Nina was recalling being, you know, a child in church and, you know, little, you know, people turn around to give her candy to help her be quiet in church or to help her church moments. And, you know, we have these memories of the blessing of growing up in fellowship, in Christian fellowship. And it is a blessing. And I thank the Lord for all of those moments. And now, you know, today I'm just going to talk by his grace for a few minutes. And the topic of this message is expectancy fueled by faith in Christ. Expectancy fueled by faith in Christ. Thank you, Lord. And our text verse is 1 John 5, verse 20. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Thank you, Lord. We are in him who is true. Thank you, Lord. And the main idea now, it's a little wordy. But it goes like this: his true nature revealed and his faithfulness in the year gone by fills us with great expectancy of the same and much more in the year ahead. The best is yet to come. So I'll just say it one more time. You know, his true nature revealed and his faithfulness in the year gone by fills us with great expectancy of the same and much more in the year ahead. The best is yet to come. And we know because of Christ, it only gets better. It just does. As we are on the brink of beginning a new year, a time of reflection can be very beneficial, especially for those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus the Christ, the true one, the light of all people, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed One. We are coming out of the season of celebrating the miraculous conception and then the physical entry of the Savior into the world. The amazing splendor of it all is still fresh in our minds. One scholar, his name is J.B. Payne, he said that he found as many as 574 verses in the Old Testament that pointed to or described somehow the coming of Jesus. Another scholar said there were about 456 Old Testament verses referring to the Messiah. Conservatively, Jesus fulfilled at least 300 prophecies in his earthly ministry. If all of that was true, then all of the rest is true. If we can see his faithfulness in the year gone by, we can surely expect more of the same in the year ahead. As we go into a new year, we may find ourselves filled with angst about the uncertainty of it all. We can align ourselves with Oswald Chambers, an early 20th century Baptist evangelist, who said, "We are uncertain of the next step, but we are certain of God." Hallelujah. Oswald called it gracious uncertainty. Certainty, he says, is the mark of the common sense life. Gracious uncertainty is the mark of the spiritual life. As soon as we abandon ourselves to God and to the task he has placed before us, he begins to fill our lives with surprises. So allow us all, as well as aligning ourselves with those words from Oswald, we can also align ourselves with scriptures that remind us of the one who began this work in us. He has said he will never leave us. Hebrews 13:5. He is for us. Romans 8:31. He loves us with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3 and 1 John 4:16. He is in us and is greater than the one that is in the world. Yes, there's more, but you get the picture. So to guide our reflection, we're going to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, as we think about expectancy and that it's fueled by faith in Christ. You know, the biblical characters are just resplendent with, examples for us. And coming out of, Christmas time, Mary just inspired me with her demonstration of faith. So if you could turn to St. John, the second chapter, I'm going to read from verses 1 through 11. Okay, I'm going to start. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw out and take it to the master of the banquet. Draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Thank the Lord for the reading of his word. Jesus, at Mary's request, transformed approximately 120 to 180 gallons of water into wine. Aside from that, my question is, how did Mary know that she could tell Jesus about this problem at the wedding? Well, her expectancy was fueled by her knowledge of who Jesus was. Up to this point, Jesus had only asked a few men to join him. From the looks of the people he had following him around, well, let's just say they didn't look like the cream of the crop. But Mary saw him as someone else. So what? They were out of wine. What was the big deal? Well, one scholar notes that in those days, wine was needed to bless the union of the couple. So it was very important. Jesus' response to his mother reveals that he did not plan to reveal his divinity at this time. But Mary knew what was spoken to her about Jesus. When she was only a 13-year-old Jewish girl, engaged to be married, the angel Gabriel came to her and told her a few things. She knew how he was conceived in her. She knew that a choir of angels serenaded his birth. Well, if that was all true, then the rest is true. What she knew in her heart about Jesus, what had been spoken to her, that's what fueled her faith. And the same thing is true for us today. The Lord has spoken some things to us. He has done some things for us in our closet. He has said some things to us when we were driving along in our car. He has seen us on our knees. And he has placed something in our hearts that keeps us coming back for more. He has put something in us that continues to help us to know that we can still seek him. And what he has done in us, you know, sometimes it feels like it's only a flicker left. Sometimes we wonder, Lord, just don't know how I'm going to make it. But he is faithful to come back and remind us time and time again, and in ways that surprise us, in ways that we could not have made ourselves. He comes and it's just for you. And you know that turning that water into wine, Jesus didn't announce and say, "Hear ye, hear ye. My mother wants me to do something, so pay attention." No. He was clear. He says he wasn't planning on revealing himself. He did it for Mary. He did it just for her. And he did it also for some others. Who else knew about this? The servants. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that touched my heart when I saw what Jesus did his work for. Because he's consistent. The servants were probably not noticed by anyone at that wedding. They didn't notice. I mean, they were there to serve. But Jesus, consistent in coming to the lowly, the weak, the humble. We fit into that, don't we? So he did it for his mother. So Mary, she was told that she would conceive a child of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy One she carried would be called the Son of God. So I reckon she said, well, if that was true, then this wine issue should be right down his lane. And she wrote a song in Luke, and it's the song that she wrote, when the angel came to her, a little, 13-year-old, engaged to be married, and told her that she would bear the Son of God. In Luke, the first chapter, verses 46 to 55, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And that is the same effect that when God reveals himself to us, that we have. Our soul sings. Mary's song here. She says, "He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He extends to those who fear him from generation. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be faithful to Abraham and his descendants, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Her song indicates that she knew a thing or two about God. The majority of the wedding guests, even the host, didn't know about the miracle of the wine. Mary knew, and the servants knew. Did Mary, even with this knowledge and this miraculous birth, were there times when she experienced uncertainty? Yes. There is this one instance when Mary and Jesus' siblings came to Jesus in Mark, the third chapter, verses 31 to 33. Jesus was just starting to get noticed, and he was getting, you know, some flack, and they were concerned for him. And so they came looking for Jesus. And the crowd said, you know, hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are here. And Jesus said, who are my mother and my brothers? I'm sure this filled Mary with some uncertainty. Even though she knew what had been promised. But it wasn't really until as things started to emerge more and more that she really understood the fullness of what Jesus came to do, who he was and is, and what he came to do. He said, whoever does the will of my Father is my mother and my brothers. I can imagine as a mother, ooh. You know, there's a TikTok of this young lady. She acts out these skits, and she's like, when she pretends to be Mary, she goes, excuse me, what? What? She it's really, really fun. Ariel, she's, if you ever look her up on Instagram, but she is just hilarious. She's like, you said what? Jesus? Joseph, you better get him. It's really funny. But, you know, she was a human mother. And, you know, God in all of his splendor and might, as, you know, Brother Dave reminded us last week, decided to use human people. Human people, just like us. And Mary was a human person. And I'm sure that she was filled with uncertainty, especially after that instant. She had some uncertainty. Like Mary, we may be uncertain of the next step. Because I'm sure at that moment she wondered, well, where do I go from here? I can't protect him. I have to let him go and do what he came to do. I cannot protect him. And, you know, mothers and fathers of young people, we face that day after day now. For those of us who, well, we, you know, it starts early, but especially as they get to the age of young adulthood and adulthood, there comes a time when we know that we can't protect them. And that's heavy. And, you know, in 2023, the Lord, in his faithfulness, moved me to a deeper place of rest with that. I needed him to. I was like, Lord, I can't sleep. I know what you said in your word. But, Lord, I just want to go and sit on their doorstep. I want to go take the keys or whatever, you know. Lord, I can't do it. Like Mary, we can be uncertain of the next step. Uncertain about what God is up to. But our history with our Lord, who we know loves us, tells us that we can be certain of him. We can be certain of him. He is in every place. His perspective is higher than ours. And God will take care. Now, our uncertainty does not indicate a lack of faith. It's a consequence of living in these human bodies with human eyes that have a limited view. So I ask, what do we now know about the Lord that fills us with expectancy. In reflection of 2023, there are things he has done that only you and I know about. There are things that he has done in all of our lives that's just between him and us. And you know, sometimes if we try to explain it, it doesn't really, it's not explainable, because he is so, you know, even more skilled than a surgeon in how he comes to us in ways that it's like, Lord, see what you do? There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10. It says here, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. It's the Holy Spirit that comes and says, see, I did that. You see, that was for you. It's the Holy Spirit who searches all things, knows the deep things of God, that comes to us and makes us aware of the magnificence of God, of his specificity. I have a hard time saying that. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. This fills us with expectancy, does it not? God has some things for us that no eye has seen. It hasn't been seen before, because it's happening to you. And this is your time on earth, your specific journey. So it would only make sense to you and him. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful. Oh, my goodness. The song says, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. Our reflective verse says that we're in the one who is true. The one who is true. So he has some amazing things for us. Now, there are things that have ministered to us and taken us to a new level of faith in Christ. I just want to mention a few of those things that the Lord served up for us right here in this room. George told us that Jesus was our hiding place. And that Jesus would protect us from the storm that rages. Oh, thank you, George, for reminding us of that. Laverne told us that she simply could not remember a time when Jesus was not in her life. That statement just causes me to smile, as I remember his promise to make all things new. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. New has come. So when I think about that statement that Laverne made, I'm like, she can only think about the new. She just can't think of a time. Now, this is just me reflecting on this. I don't know what it means to you, my sister, my love. But isn't it wonderful to not be able to remember a time when Jesus was not in your life? You know, we don't need to dredge up that stuff. Corpse life. Walking Dead life. We've been made anew. The old has gone. The new has come. It's all new. Every day it's new. Romans 8:1. What is it? There is now, therefore now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When is it now? Now. 6 o'clock tonight. Is it still going to be now? He has made all things new. Hallelujah. It's true. Every time he looks at me, he only sees the new. It's gone. Don't dredge it up. Don't say, well, in my old days, I would have done this or that. It's gone. He has made you new. Brand new. I am a brand new me, all because of Calvary. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That faith fuels us, fuels our expectancy of him. Because once we know that we know that we know who we are to him, there's nothing but expectancy of what he will do next. If he could make me new, if he could erase my past, if he can do that, he can do anything. It's gone. Rejoice. Thank him for it. When you feel like it's coming, speak it. Lord, you made me new. I am a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. I'm walking in my new. I'm walking in my new. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Akasha reminded us that our help comes from the Lord. That baby. I know you ain't a baby. My granddaughter always says, I ain't a baby. I know. But all y'all is my baby. Akasha reminding us, as she read Psalms 121, that our help comes from the Lord. She then included us in her private conversation with the Lord. As she told him, thank you for always walking with me. Thank you for sharing all my moments. She said, we have done so much together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, you know, and I felt like I was just listening in to her personal conversation with the Lord as she stood here. So true. Major, that young man, reminded us that every praise is to our God. Yes. Did he not? Yes, he sang that song. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. He sang it with exuberance. God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, he is. And you know how we act when stuff like that happens. We're like, oh, yes, yes. You know, we're all standing. But the Lord served that up for us right here. In his faithfulness. Amen. He's saying, glory, hallelujah, is due our God. Yes. How old is it? 8? 9? And if Major can remind us that every praise is to our God, and that hallelujahs are due our God. Sometimes I say, well, Lord, if Major can sing that, then, Lord, I'm going to agree with him in this moment. Hallelujah is due you, Lord, out of the mouth of babes, Lord. You've ordained praise. Deacon Gary told us that God was crafting us according to his unique design. Hallelujah. According to his specs for us. Being an electrician, he had to, all of who he is and is in Christ. You know, that's what the Lord does, right? We think that, you know, our vocation or our area of study is in this little vacuum, but the Lord fills every place in our lives. And those, you know, instances, you know, if you're into science, God will fill that place and reveal how he shows up in that place to you. So Gary, he says, according to his specs for us. I'm not sure I understand about specs, but I was smiling because I know that, yes, it is true. God is crafting us according to his unique design. Elder Don reminded us that the truest blessing the Lord has given us is himself. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, leftovers are good, even better the second time around or third. Excuse me. Sometimes, some of you don't like leftovers, but sometimes you can, like, you know, add some stuff to it and, like, you know, spruce it up a little bit. But, you know, as I was preparing, I was looking back and taking some time to look at some messages and, oh, what a feast. I encourage you. Yeah. When you go on the website under sermons, they not only have the audio, but I don't know who did that. Who did that, Chris? We got the maestro of our ministry page with us today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Chris. Hallelujah. Because I didn't know that the video was also there. So, oh, my delight. I was like, oh, because it used to only be audio. But see, the Lord knows. He just, like, you know, does all kinds of good stuff for us. So I encourage you. You know, you have an hour to spare. Go back, especially now as we're reflecting on what the Lord has done for us in 2023. He is the same God. He is faithful. He fed us in 2023. He's got some good stuff for us in 2024. I know he does. So, you know, take some time, you know, when you get a chance, not if, but when, as part of your moments to reflect, right? In our Bible study of Mephibosheth, I'm saying it, I know. But we've been, you know, Bible study. It's just good. I hate to miss it. Sometimes I have to, but I hate to, because it's always just wonderful. So Pastor has us studying these characters that are little known. And so we were studying Mephibosheth. During that study, Kevin reminded us that adoption means full inclusion. And then Marty told us that our disabilities do not disqualify us from receiving all that God has for us. How sweet it is. Oh my goodness. And you know, during the Bible studies, when you know, the Lord just brings all these different nuggets out of everyone. I was like, whoa, that was good. Let me write that down. Oh, Keisha said, okay, all right, thank you. Should I go on? Okay, just a few more. Corinne told us that when the oceans rise and thunders roar, in Christ we would soar above the storm. Yes, she did. Yes, that Jesus won his heart. Hallelujah. How glorious. Jesus won his heart. If he can do it for Avon, he can do it for our children. He can win their hearts. He won our hearts. We didn't, like, you know, wake up one morning and say, you know, I just think I'll follow Jesus because I'm just that good. He drew me. There's a song that says, he drew me and I followed on. The burly men told us that when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon their hearts, they would dance as David danced. And then they showed us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Our expectancy is fueled by faith in Christ. Pastor reminded us time and again that getting to know Jesus is the greatest prize. You know, there's a poem, it's kind of long, so I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but this poem called Wait that Pastor sent to us. That's one of our studies where we're talking about waiting on the Lord. And just one excerpt says, wait. You say, wait, my indignant reply. Lord, I need answers. I need to know why. Is your hand shortened? Or have you not heard? By faith I have asked and am claiming your word. My future and all to which I can relate hangs in the balance. And you tell me, wait? I'm needing a yes, a go-ahead sign, or even a no to which I can resign. And Lord, you promise that if we believe, we need but to ask, and we shall receive. And Lord, I've been asking, I need a reply. Then quietly, softly, I learned of my fate as my master replied once again, you must wait. So I slumped in my chair, defeated and taunt, and grumbled to God. So I'm waiting for what? He seemed then to kneel, and his eyes wet with mine, and he tenderly said, I could give you a sign. I could shake the heavens and darken the sun. I could raise the dead, cause the mountains to run. All you seek, I could give, and pleased you would be. You would have what you want, but you wouldn't know me. You'd not know the depth of my love for each saint. You'd not know the power that I give to the faint. You'd not learn to see through the clouds of despair. You'd not learn to trust just by knowing I'm there. You'd not know the joy of resting in me when darkness and silence were all you could see. You'd never experience the fullness of love as the peace of my spirit descends like a dove. You'd know that I give and I save for a start, but you'd not know the depth of the beat of my heart, the glow of my comfort late in the night, the faith that I give when you walk without sight. The depth that's beyond getting just what you asked of an infinite God who makes what you have last. You'd never know, should your pain quickly flee, what it means that my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, your dreams for that loved one overnight would come true, but oh, the loss, if I lost what I'm, the loss if I lost what I'm doing in you. So be silent, my child, and in time you will see the greatest gift is to get to know me. And though oft my answers seem terribly late, my most precious answer of all is still wait. Getting to know Christ, the goal, the prize, getting to know him in those places of our lives. And so as we go into 2024, there are a few things that I know for sure. I didn't mean to rhyme there, but it did. Okay. So I just have to share just a couple of things, and I'm winding down. What I know for sure is that Jesus can get me through any sticky wicket. These are my words. I know that he can. I faced some sticky wickets in 2023. And the Lord got me through. So I know that he can get me through sticky wickets. Second thing, I don't have to see a way for there to be a way.
That's right.
That sustains me. I don't have to know how it's going to work out to know that it's going to work out because of Christ and his love for me. I don't know how it's going to work out, but that's okay. He'll sit with me. He sat with me in that place of not knowing. He sat and sat and sat with me. And I'm learning not to try to hurry out of that place. As uncomfortable and painful, the Lord showed me that I'm right here with you in this uncomfortable place. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to be with you here in this place. And that's all I need to know. Now, the other thing I know for sure is that there is a difference between waiting on Jesus and resting in Jesus. And the Lord, you know, has been showing me that, you know, that sometimes I'm waiting. This is me. And the Lord has more for me than this. The Lord has rest. He says, come to me. I will give you rest. And I've said to the Lord, Lord, this, what I'm carrying, Lord, this is just too heavy for me. I'm going to give it to you. So here it is, Lord. It's yours. And I'm going on to do something else. And the Lord has shown me that I can do that. There's no answer. I don't know what's going on. It's scary up there ahead. Lord, you said, come to me. Take my yoke. My burden is light. So, Lord, I want to take your burden that's light and give you my heavy burden. And then one more thing, Lord. I don't exactly know how to do that. I don't know how to do that, Lord. So you got to show me.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it. And look, he does. He shows me. Another thing I know is that my life is in good hands. They're in his hands. Another thing, Jesus can make use of anything. With him, the size of the offering does not matter. He's in the multiplying business. No matter how small it is that I can give, he multiplies it. He makes it more. Has someone ever come to you and said thank you for something that you didn't even think was a thing, but it meant so much? The Lord multiplied it. He shoved it down. It was flowing over by the time it got to that other person. And all I did was give him a hug. All I did was ask them how their day was going. And they wanted to talk about it. And that meant so much to them. Two more things. I'm almost done, you guys. The next thing, belief in Christ. This is another thing I know. Belief in Christ is not a means to a comfortable, easy life. Belief in Christ is not a means to social justice, social equality, or even the absence of war. In him is life, and his life is the light of man. He is the true one, period. He is the Savior of the world. He is my Savior. That's it. That's enough. Last thing, there is certainty in my uncertainty. because of Christ. Not knowing what the future holds really can leave us with breathless expectation. We know of his faithfulness in the past, and we look forward to his faithfulness in the future. Glorious expectancy fueled by our faith in Christ. May the Lord continue to bless us, Lord.